If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You hear people say, that's a miracle when someone wins the lottery, or when they survive a car wreck. You hear it when a baby's born. You hear people say it if a team wins it'll be a miracle. Excuse me. When someone recovers from a lengthy illness, it's a miracle. People in our society have turned miracles of old into common occurrences. This begs the question, are there miracles today? First, we look at the definition of miracle. Webster Dictionary says an event that seems impossible to explain by natural laws and so is regarded as supernatural in origin or as an act of God. Second, we look at supernatural. Webster says of or pertaining to an order of existence beyond the natural world, of pertaining to or attributed to a divine agent. We don't expect Webster to get it totally right, so we'll help just a little bit. In the definition of miracle, it says is regarded as supernatural or as an act of God, and what it should say is regarded as supernatural, an act of God. God made nature, Genesis chapter 1. He set nature in its path. Only God can go beyond nature, and that's where miracles are found. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 1. Matthew 8 and verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let's also look at verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word that my servant will be healed. And in verse 13, Jesus then said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Verse 14, When Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served him. In verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all those who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Verse 28, when he had come to the other side of the country of the Gershons, where there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you? Excuse me. What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time? Now a good way off there were a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, Go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. In chapter 9, starting at verse 1, So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city, and behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Let's look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay from the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors of those who previously had seen him, seen that he was blind, said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said to them, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. Luke 4 and verse 28. The woman... And all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they may throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went away. He went his way. Hopefully these scriptures are shedding some light on the mistreatment of the word miracle. However, we're not quite done just yet. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, excuse me, and verse 10. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 10. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand, and he asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that we might accuse him? That they might accuse him. And they said to them, what man, and he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched out his hand, and it was restored as whole as the other. Let's also look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse 49. Luke 22 and verse 49. When those around him saw that what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear, and it was healed. Let's look at John 6. John chapter 6, starting at verse 15. John 6 and verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone, and when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over to went over the sea toward Capernaum. And now it was dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and were afraid. But Jesus said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Have you ever seen anyone walk on water? Have you ever been in a boat that was on a body of water that just all of a sudden was at its destination? Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along with the in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the sea, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus can command nature to obey him, and it will. Let's look at another scripture. John 11. John chapter 11. Starting at verse 1. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Then Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not into death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea. Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary, rose up quickly and went out, following her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. 4 days. I had a discussion one time with someone that said, if you perform CPR on somebody, you're bringing them back to life. Might I suggest that someone who is not breathing for a few minutes is not dead? Someone whose heart stops, and maybe you bring them, revive them and get their heart pumping again. Were they dead? How about someone who hasn't drawn a breath or had a heartbeat in 4 days? Do you think you and I would have any luck reviving that person? Jesus didn't have any trouble. He spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus arose from the dead. Can you or I speak to anything on this earth that might cause it to obey our command in a supernatural way? You and I do not have that power. Neither does anyone else on this earth today. The only power over nature comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The miracles performed by the Savior were greatly the fulfillment of prophetic statements in order to prove himself the Messiah of the prophecy. He must do the things the prophets foretold he would. The miracles of Christ were the fulfillment of prophecy. The apostles of Christ performed many miracles. The object of these miracles were for two reasons: to confirm the word spoken and to convince the people they were sent from God with the message. The word has been confirmed and sealed by the oath of heaven and the blood of Christ. There is nothing that could be said or done to confirm the word of God that has not already been said and done, and is a matter of record. Thus, there are no longer miracles. We have seen things today that cause us to wonder. we might see things that we do not understand. A baby being born, a bad team winning a game, someone surviving a car wreck. These things are not miracles. We should be very cautious with what we say. Consider that only a few people in the Bible had the power to perform miracles, and those who had power received it from on high. These were not common occurrences that happened daily. Consider just one more thing this evening. When we say that that is a miracle, without regard for God's word, we're taking away from that very word. We're taking away from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. And those whom they chose to perform miracles. When we do that, we are in danger. Eternal danger. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19. Revelation 22 and verse 19. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's my lesson for this evening. I know it wasn't very long, but I hope we've all learned something. I encourage you, as well as myself, to think before we speak. And when we do speak, let's remember 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Jesus performed many miracles and did many things while on this earth. Let's look at John 21. John chapter 21. In verse 25. John 21 and verse 25. John says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." The Word of God has given us accounts of miracles both in the Old Testament and New Testament. And we shouldn't take away from God's Word. If there's someone here this evening that hasn't obeyed the gospel by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being immersed in water, to be raised up out of that water free of sins, and we want to, after you would do that, to live faithfully and obey God's will so that we can find that home with Him in heaven after the judgment day. If there's someone here who has not obeyed God's commandments and His will, we would encourage you to come forward. If you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you with that as well as we stand and sing.